say it. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus over this commissioner's court meeting on Monday. Father, I ask you for your grace and your mercy, Father, that we will be able to have people in there that will stand up for America, stand up for Fort Davis and Jeff Davis County, and stand up for the Constitution, and stand up for the Bible. Father, I ask you that we would have the leaders turn to you and see their need to be led by you. Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And Father, we ask for confusion in the enemy's camp, that every socialist, every communist that would have something to say, that they would be so confounded that anybody could see that they're wrong and need to be replaced. We ask you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right, can I have a couple of people help me with the communion? Communion is such a wonderful thing when you realize how to do this by following God's directions and doing it the way He said and releasing your faith in it and receiving from it. This is way cool. You know, we're going to talk a little bit about having peace with God today. When you find out that your sins are forgiven, that they're washed away by the blood of Jesus, and that you have a continual waterfall of forgiveness, that's the love of God. Then you can take communion with confidence, and you can receive the things that He wants you to receive out of this deal. You're not looking over your shoulder wondering if I forgot something. Amen. Because Jesus didn't forget anything except for your sins. He washed them away. And He wants you to forget them too. So if you've been keeping yourself on the hook for 10 or 15 years over something that you did, stop. Receive the love and forgiveness of God. Paul told us to discern the body of Christ. The way we do this is by seeing Jesus in this bread. This bread has no yeast in it. It's perfectly sinless. Jesus is perfectly sinless. This bread has been beaten, and Jesus was certainly beaten and bruised for us. Thank God. Thank God. It was by His stripes that we were healed. This bread has been pierced. Everywhere that Jesus shed His blood, we got redemption for. And you can look at this bread and it's slightly burned. The full wrath of God's fiery judgment, the judgment that was meant for us, was laid on Jesus when He was on that cross. Jesus took our place so that we could take His. And His body was broken. And it was all for our healing. We release our faith in this and receive your life and your strength and your healing in our bodies. His blood was shed for us all over the place. Not only does His blood wash away our sins, His blood protects us. His blood delivers us, and His blood seals in the New Testament promises for us. And now it's because of His blood we can go boldly into the throne room of grace, and we can receive mercy and help in our times of need. And we can stand before God, justified freely by His grace, knowing that we are in right standing with Him. Praise God. Praise God. We truly have a lot to be thankful for. A lot of times when we go through our busy days and our challenges and everything, we tend to look at, here you go, we tend to look at the things that are wrong. You know, we need to just stop and understand that fundamentally everything is all right. Did you realize that in most people's lives, 95 to 90% of everything in their life is okay? It's the 3 to 5% of the things that are wrong that you focus on that messes up your whole day. Just stop once in a while and look at everything that's right. Look at everything that's good. Look at everything that's positive. Look at what God has blessed you with. You know, sometimes we get to the big mountain in our life and we think, how are we going to get over this? How is this even possible to survive this challenge? Just stop and look at your past. Look at your life. And there's one thing that you should notice, that God has a 100% track record of getting you through your hard times. And in fact, the big challenges that you had 20, 30 years ago are just faded. They're not as big as what you may think when you have a big God and you focus on Him. Amen. Well, praise God. Are we having children's church today? Are you sure? Oh, I don't know. I guess. Open up your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. And we've been talking about the 16 things that happened when Jesus said, "It is finished." There were 16 things, major things that happened. You know, I don't know if all of you were here when I decided I'd look up the significance of the number 16 in the Bible, and I looked at it, and I wrote it down. The number 16 is strongly associated with love and its manifestations. Isn't that something? That God will say there's 16 things that happened when Jesus said, "It is finished." That's pretty cool. Let us pray. Father, we thank You in the name of Jesus for this opportunity to worship You in spirit and in truth. We thank You for the Holy Spirit who is always here to teach us and guide us. He's always here to help us rightfully divide Your word of truth. We thank You for the spirit of wisdom and revelation that You have already given to us, so that now we are able to open up Your word and read it and learn from it and get revelation out of it, so we can learn of Jesus the way He said. And then we can go out into the mission field, which is everywhere the sole of our feet land. And we can operate in this kingdom the way You desire us to. Father, we can receive the many, many blessings that You have bestowed upon us. And You've already given them to us freely with Christ Jesus. Father, we thank You for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Mike, would you do me a huge favor?
Yes, sir.
Step outside and wave Rich down. I think he just drove by, and I think he's not wanting to come on in. Just, if he turned around, wave him in. If he's on his way, then welcome him in. One time there was a man that ended up in a psychiatric ward, and he had come to the end of himself, and he didn't know what else to do, and he was looking for answers, and somebody asked him, said, "Well, what do you want?" And he said, "I want peace. I want peace." You know what? That's what most of the world wants. And most of the world is seeking peace in all different directions. And unfortunately, we have more doctors than pastors that run into these people. And the doctors say, "You take these pills and you'll have peace. Temporarily. They may cover some symptoms. They may give you a sense of ease and comfort for a little while." You know, people seek peace in alcohol. And for a little bit, they find some peace in that alcohol. People seek peace in sex. They run all over the place. And for a little bit, they get a euphoric rush and they have some peace for a little bit. It takes their mind off of what's bugging them, the true things that are hurting them. You know, people will find some sense of ease and comfort in food. And they'll eat and eat and eat until it's no longer healthy for them and it hurts them. You know, sometimes the things that we find the most comfort in are the things that hurt us the most. There's a void on the inside of each man. There's a void on the inside of each man that we try to fill with all kinds of external things. And the only thing we can fill it with that will not hurt us is God. It took me a long time. It took me a long time. Believe me, I have an addictive personality. Everything I ever tried, I took it to the absolute max. I mean, it was terrible. Everything I tried. But if I thought I could get some sense of ease and comfort out of it, I'd go over the deep end. You know, one time I worked 140 hours in 1 week. On no drugs. I was such a workaholic. I used to feel bad if I didn't get at least 17 or 18 hours a day. If I didn't get at least 17 or 18 hours a day, I thought I got robbed. One guy asked me, said, "Do you ever sleep?" Said, "You were here working when I got to work yesterday, and you were still working when I got off, and I've been off for 12 hours, and you're still here." Well, my boss says sleeping's overrated. The DOT didn't think so. But but look, people have these voids on the inside that can only be filled with God. And what they're truly looking for is peace. Not only peace with themselves, but peace with God. That's one of the things that happened on the cross. Jesus made peace between God and man. See, there was no peace between God and man before Jesus got here. People were under the law, and if they broke the law, it was hammer time, and they knew it. You know, unfortunately, we have thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of Christians running around worried about hammer time. They're worried that because they've done something wrong, that God is going to get them. They don't understand that the cross made all the difference in the world. You know, the law will break a man, but grace will give a man a break. Amen? That's what Jesus is all about. There was a paralytic that got let down through the tiles of the roof. He couldn't walk. His friends carried him. They couldn't get through the crowd, so they crawled up on the roof and they tore a hole through the roof and they laid him down before Jesus. And Jesus could have said, be healed. Jesus could have cast the devil out of him. Jesus could have did a lot of things, but he said, son, your sins are forgiven. Get up, roll your bed up, and walk out of here. Guess what happened? He got up, rolled his bed up, walked on out of here. And everybody shouted, hallelujah! No. No. The religious mafia. They said, who do you think you are forgiving sins? I had a lady say that to me one time. She said, who do you think you are forgiving somebody's sins? I said, well, Jesus said it himself. He said, if I don't forgive somebody, how am I supposed to be forgiven? She said, oh. Kind of took her little religious high horse and kicked him right in the butt. But look, when a man finds out that he's forgiven and God's not mad at him, it changes the way he thinks. It changes the way he believes. It changes everything. That's what happened. Jesus changed everything when he was on that cross. Amen. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. Made peace through the blood of his cross by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. There's a couple of things I want to address here. In verse 21 says, you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind. There's people running around thinking God's mad at them. What are they doing? They're playing mental basketball with themselves. Here's the thing you got to understand. The devil, when you get born again, you're born again all the way. And the Holy Spirit, he's on the inside of you. And he doesn't live in a duplex. See, the devil's not in there too. It's only him. But that's your spirit. You have to understand that you are a spirit. You're attached to a soul. That's that fine-tuned thinking machine up there between your floppy little ears. And you live in this body. That's your earth suit. That's what we recognize everybody by. Now, the devil has absolutely no access to your spirit whatsoever. None. But he does have access to your mind. That's where you come up with all these good ideas. He shoots these fiery darts. They're called high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. And these are things, these bad ideas that we come up with. Sometimes we have to take those captive and we have to cast them down in the name of Jesus. You know those things that said, I'm too ugly? No boy's ever going to marry me. You know those ideas that said, man, I'm from the wrong side of the tracks. I'm never going to be successful. You know those ideas that say, you know, every time I get rolling, I mess it up. Those are high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. We got to get rid of those. What we got to do is focus on what God said about us. Which brings us to the next verse right here. This next verse here says, see, once we understand, we have to control our thinking. You know, David did. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He said in verse 22, in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in whose sight? In his sight. You know, there's too many people running around worried about what other people think about them. Knock it off. It's none of your business what other people think about you. Sometimes people get a little frustrated with me because I really don't care what they think about me. My only concern is what God thinks about me. And He says I'm unreprovable in His sight because of the blood of Jesus. Now, what do you got to say about that? And then, see, we have to understand, we're in this world, we're not of this world. We belong to a whole different kingdom. There's people say nasty things about me almost every single day. And sometimes I go out of my way to say hi to them. And it just drives them absolutely crazy. But if you're asking me to hide from the devil, you're wasting your time. And I'll tell you, sometimes people get offended with me about this stuff, but I'll go up there and I'll tell them God loves them. Sometimes people will be really, really smart, Alec, and they'll say, well, say a prayer for me. I say, I will. You just gave me permission to pray into your life. Sometimes people say, well, aren't you worried that they're going to be offended and maybe they won't turn to the gospel? No. No. Sometimes people need to be offended enough to turn to Christ. Maybe they'll see that they're wrong. If they're offended with what happens on this earth, guess what? They're really going to be offended if they land in hell. I can't think of a more offensive place than that. Amen. Quit worrying about hurting somebody's little feelers. You know, you can enable people all the way to the gates of hell. We have pastors doing that by the thousands. Every day. They get behind the pulpit. They won't preach the gospel. They won't tell the truth. They will not get people born again. And people think they're okay. And then they die and they go to hell. Can you see the wrongness in that? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 14. If you want to know something that you should read over and over and over again, this is your verse. These verses are yours. Read these over and over and over and over and over again. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. It says, For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yet though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to it that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God, for he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. There's so much in those verses right there. There's so much in those verses that shows what God did for us. Amen. I want you to look up here. Verse 15. He died for all. He died for all. Every single human being on the face of this earth that ever was or ever is, Jesus died for them. All of them. He said, know no man after the flesh. What's that mean? When you run into somebody, he's either born again or he's not. He's not black. He's not white. He's not brown. He's either born again or he's not. If he's born again, then we need to encourage them in Christ. If he's not born again, then we need to get him born again. Now, don't you think that would take care of some of the racism in this world? What they call racism? That would take the spirit of division completely out of the way. Amen. Everybody's focused on the wrong things. If they just focus on the spirit of division and get that taken out of the way, we might have just one church. We're going to one of these days. Jesus said he's going to bring us all together in the unity of the faith. Not our doctrines. We're not ever going to agree on doctrine, but he will bring us all together in the unity of the faith. Amen? It's going to be a glorious day. We have one church. One church. See, the devil is throwing a big fit, and he's doing all this stuff, and people don't understand that it's just a reaction that something that God has already said he will do. See, they want this new world order. They want to have one world currency. They want to have one world church, one world government. That's going to happen. It's going to happen. The government is going to rest on Jesus' shoulders. We're going to come together in the unity of the faith. And I have a real question on money. I mean, he pays the streets with gold. What are we going to need money for? I don't know. Yeah. Everything's going to be there. But you can see, the devil has never been able to create anything. He's only been able to counterfeit. And when he counterfeits it, it's twisted and it's all messed up. Amen? Go on down here to verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ. So when you get born again, you're in Christ. You're in Christ. You get born again, you get automatically baptized into the body of Christ. This means you're a new creature. You're a new creature. A new creature. Think about that for a second. A new creature has no past. Have you ever wanted to just start life over with a clean slate? Here's your verse. Right here. A new creature has no past. Your past has been washed away by the blood of Jesus. Amen? Don't rehash the past. And don't be calling it a testimony. That's a war story. The testimony is that Jesus made you a new creature in Christ. And because of the blood of Jesus, you're now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That means you're in right standing. That whatever was wrong between you and God got taken away by the blood of Jesus. And now you have peace with God and you stand before Him justified freely by His grace. Justified, never sinned before. Why? Because He washed it away. And He forgot about it. He threw it into the sea of forgetfulness. Don't go fishing it up. Leave it alone. You don't know what I did. Obviously, you don't know what Jesus did. If whatever you did in the past seems to be greater than what Jesus did, you need to get back to the basics, study the cross. Jesus took care of it. But it was bad. If there's ever anything that the blood of Jesus could not conquer, then we're toast. I mean, if there was ever one sin that Jesus' blood could not conquer, we're in trouble. Because He had to conquer everything about Satan. He had to be 100% totally victorious. You know, like my boss used to say, he said, I'm going to tell you something right now. If it's 95% right, it's all wrong. See, man. Me and him, we had a lot of discussions. That was the big boss. My boss would be sitting there with me while I was at the whipping post. One time he said, he was in there, he chewed on me and my buddy, we did something. Irritated him. So we were in there and he was really railing on us for a long time. My boss was there. The big boss was there. Me and my buddy, we were getting whipped on. I guess we were driving too fast in our trucks. I don't know. But he railed on us for a long time. He said, now get out of here. So I go on, I turn around, I said, is there anything else? He said, no. I said, okay, so I blew him a kiss. My boss about fell out of his chair, and we went back to work. My boss come up there and he said, you've got to quit doing that, Tim. You're going to give him a heart attack one of these days. Look, when you find out you got peace with God, what these other people say to you, it's just not that big a deal. It's just not. When you find out that what team you're on God's team, that He's your provider, your providence is wrapped up in Him, your provision, everything about you is wrapped up in Him. Guess what? Some of these big bullies are just not all that big anymore. They're just not. You have confidence. You have boldness to go into places that you never thought possible. Chapter 5. Oops. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You ever seen a little kid get in trouble and dad was going to come home and the kid would know that, man, this might not go well for me. But mom would slide in there and smooth the situation over just a little bit and make it where it was going to be okay. We got such a much more better advocate than a mom in Jesus. He's way better. He's always right there. making intercession for us with God. And he does a perfect work. You know, we have access to God through him. We know he did everything for us. So we can go boldly to the throne room of God. We got Jesus on our side. Amen? And God loves us no matter what. When you realize how much God loves you, you'll be glad to run into his presence. Amen? Don't focus on how much you love God. You'll fail. You'll fail. Focus on how much he loves you, and he'll never fail you. Amen? Now, verse 2 says, by whom we have access by faith into this grace in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works patience. Patience, experience, and experience, hope. Hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. I don't know what that means. Let me just put it in layman's terms, everyday terms. We were total rats. Just calling a spade a spade. We were rats. Jesus, who never made a mistake, not one time ever in his life, never ever made a mistake, said he'd get on that cross and he'd take our sins upon him. And he would take our death that was meant for us upon him. And he'd take our sicknesses, our shortcomings, our failures, everything we did wrong, he'd take it upon him, even though he never did anything at all. He took the full penalty of everything that we deserved. And he said, I'm going to trade it right straight across with you so that you can take everything that I deserved, everything that I've inherited, and you can take my place at the right hand of God. Amen? What's that mean? That means he's placed you in this place that he deserved. And he went somewhere you didn't want to go so that you could go somewhere you didn't deserve. Amen? You know why I got born again? Because I didn't want to go to hell. Period. That's at the time, this guy was preaching and he said, you know, if you get born again, you won't have to go to hell. I said, pew, pick me. I promise you, there was times I thought I could feel the fires of hell on my toes. Yeah. This is my get out of hell card. I'm on it. So I got it. I got born again. Because I didn't want to go to hell. All the rest of the stuff came later. I didn't know none of the stuff. And then that all came later. That's okay. It's okay. Some people say, well, you just went and got fire insurance. Yeah, you dang right. That was the first smart thing I ever did in my life. Yeah. He'll take care of the rest. He'll show us the rest. He'll teach us the rest. We just got to open up His Bible every once in a while. And here's the thing about the Bible. The Bible is offensive. Did you know that? The Bible is offensive to people's flesh. If I don't make somebody mad every once in a while when I'm preaching, if I don't burn their flesh every once in a while when I'm preaching, I'm not doing my job. The Bible, it tore me up for a while. When I got born again, I'd open that thing up and I'd read scripture in there and I'd close that thing up. I like that. Why do I got to give that up? I'm going to give it one more try. I'd open it up and I'd read another scripture and I'd read it. I'll tell you something. God thinks I'm going to give that pastor 10% of my money. He's nuts. Open it up again. I'm going to give it one more try. Open it up. Close it. Just being honest. If the Bible doesn't burn your flesh, you're not reading it. Amen? Here's another thing. These pastors that are running around trying not to offend anybody, they're not trying to burn their flesh. They're trying to keep from doing that. That's how we ended up with gay marriages. That's how we ended up with gay pastors. Because they didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings. My friend actually went to preach at a great big church one time. And the pastor come back there and said, we do not preach salvation here. Don't burn their flesh. They might leave. Don't hurt their feelings. They might leave. We're going to console them all the way to the gates of hell. No, we don't have to worry about them no more. That's basically what they said. Don't preach salvation here. He said, okay. So he preached born again. Look. Heaven is real. And so is hell. And it's really hot. It's not a good place to be. There's one way to stay out of there, and that's through Jesus. Say, Jesus, be my Lord. Amen? And you don't even have to say a fancy prayer. You know, Jesus met Paul on the road to Damascus. Knocked him off his donkey. And Paul looked up and said, who are you, Lord? Lord, you're Lord. Then he realized that God raised him back to life, and Paul called him Lord. See how easy that is? You're Lord. You're my Lord. I believe that God raised Jesus back to life, and I confess the Lord Jesus be my Lord. How hard is that? Evidently pretty hard. There are a lot of preachers that won't say that. Even worse, they'll go pour water on their head or baptize them. So they think they're okay. They haven't been born again. They just, if they got water poured on them, they just got to be a wet sinner. Jesus said a man must be born again. Period. That's how we get peace with God. That's what we want. And then we let Him come flooding into us, and it fills that void. Amen? Don't worry if it doesn't happen all at one time. Let Him just flood you continually, continually, continually. Let Him put more into you. All that other stuff will go away. Amen? I figured something out. That redemption is a messy process. You know, sometimes there's people that have really gotten into the Word for 30, 40 years, and there's not really much maintenance to them. You know? Sometimes there's people that have just come out of oblivion, really, and got born again, and man, there's a lot of stuff they're dealing with, and that's okay too. It's okay. Everybody got somewhere from somewhere else. When we start and we grow a little bit in Christ every day. Every time we hear the Word of God, we grow a little bit more in Christ. And I'm going to tell you something. Jesus is not ashamed of anybody. He loves all of His family. Amen? Thank you, Father, for Your Word. We praise You in Jesus' name. We thank You that every time we take Your Word in our hearts, this Word changes us from the inside out. We don't know how it happens. It just happens supernaturally. We thank You that You never, ever look at us in shame. You always look at us as the Beloved. We are accepted in the Beloved. We thank You, Father, that Your Word takes root in us and it causes fruit to grow in our lives. Some of it is 100-fold, some is 60-fold, and some is 30-fold. But it's still return on Your Word. And we praise You for that. And we thank You, Father, for the love that You bestowed upon us. That great grace that Jesus has showed us on His cross. And He shows us every day His love and peace. We thank You for this in Jesus' name. Amen.